When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 74, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. My mission here at the Alien UFO Podcast is to investigate all things that are part of the wider UFO phenomena. I'm looking at UFO sightings, alien abduction, historic cases and other related events. And every Thursday, I release an episode of the Past Lives podcast that's called Paranormal Stories, and that has UFO cases as well as information on evidence of an afterlife. And if you want to hear the extended version of this interview, which is an extra 23 minutes, you'd like to join the Patreon campaign, where there are now over 70 episodes in the back catalogue. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe. And this week I'm talking to Bonnie Jean Mitchell about her book, The Shift, A Lifetime of Contact Leading to Higher Consciousness. Bonnie is a lifelong ET experiencer and contactee. She was first visited at 4 years old. She has also had encounters with US military-trained psychics and military abduction. Hi, Bonnie. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Simon. It's great to meet you. I'm excited to be here.
We're going to be talking about your book. It's called The Shift, A Lifetime of Contact Leading to Higher Consciousness. How did all this start for you? What was your first experience?
Well, my first experience happened when I was 4 years old. That happened in Virginia, in the United States. And I lived in a little log cabin with my parents, and we were at the foot of the Blue Ridge Mountains. That was a very secluded area, very beautiful and kind of a magical place for me to grow up. So this one evening, I was sleeping, and I woke up during the night. I sat up in my bed, and I saw what looked like to me, looked like two little stick people walking towards the foot of my bed. And they had huge bulbous heads, but I could not really see their facial features because it was very dark in there, I think. But they were holding hands and they were walking towards the foot of my bed. And I got scared and I actually screamed. And my mother came running into the room. And as she came running in, these two stick people just slowly vanished. And now I think it's probably because they were on a different vibrational frequency. Perhaps I was in a different state of consciousness. But that was the very first time. And I'm 55 now, and it's continued my whole life. Now I have a good relationship with the star people. I'm not scared anymore.
And did you have a kind of regular contact after that? Were they turning up every week or every month?
Well, I did this interesting thing when I was little. When I went to bed at night, my parents would come in and they'd tuck me in. They'd say goodnight to me. And they were very loving with me. And they'd read stories to me and they'd sing to me. And they'd turn off the lights and they'd close the door. And I would just lay there with my eyes open until I fell asleep because I was very curious and I wanted to see what was there. And as I did this, I would start to see images in the air, and they were very colorful. I realize now that that was probably my third eye working. And because the images I was seeing at first were like candy and ice cream and toys and things that I really liked. And they were just lit up, like almost like there was a screen about 2 foot in front of my forehead. In the air, I could see these images. They were all glowing and lit up. And I did this for many years. And I thought it was normal. Of course, I didn't know any different. But I started to see people walking into my room. Now, at first, they were humans. And it would normally be two or three people. And it wasn't scary to me. I was just really curious. And they'd walk up to my bed. And they were very friendly. And I think now, perhaps, it could have been my great-grandparents or someone from my family who was in spirit form. And they were trying to speak to me, but I could never hear them. It's as if I was looking at them through a pane of glass, like there was a barrier there, and they couldn't touch me, and I couldn't hear them. But we could see each other just fine. And they would stand there, and they'd look at me and smile at me, and they'd try to talk to me. And after a few minutes, they'd just walk away. They'd smile, and they walk away. So this happened for a while, and then the event happened when I was four, and I saw the star people for the first time. But it wasn't every night. In fact, I kind of have a blank in my memory about that, because between the age of four and about seven, something must have happened where I did develop a relationship with the star people. But when I was 7 years old, I was still laying in my bed at night with my eyes open, seeing images in the air and seeing humans walk into the room. But then I started seeing star people walk into the room. And so this one night in particular, I was 7 years old. I was laying there in the process of going to sleep. And I had a shelf on the wall that had some of my dolls on it. And I was looking at them, and they seemed to come to life. Their eyes started blinking, and their mouths started moving. And that frightened me, and I covered myself up with my blankets. I put my head under the blankets because that was a little too much. And I peeked back out to look again, and they were still moving. And at that point, they actually stood up, two of these dolls on my shelf. They started to stand up and come off of the shelf. And as they did come off of the shelf, their feet came down to the floor, and they turned into star people. So I was only 7 years old. They were probably only about 4 foot tall. And I don't think they were grays. I think they had lighter skin, and their heads weren't huge, but they were pretty much, they were bigger than a human's head, and their eyes were bigger than a human's eyes. But they came right up to my bed. And when I saw them, I thought, oh, okay, it's just them. Okay, I don't want my dolls to come to life. That's too freaky, but okay, it's my friends, the star people. That's okay. Then I was fine with it. So one of them came up to right next to me near my pillow where my head was, and the other one stayed down by my feet. And I knew that they wanted me to go with them, so I had no problem with that. I just sat up and threw the blankets off, and I stood up, and the one next to my pillow held my hand on the left side, and the one by my feet came around and held my hand on the right side. And we walked together out of my bedroom, past my parents' room where they were sleeping, through the living room and right out the front door. And my memory kind of blanks there. I'm not sure where we went. But yeah, I just did this thing with my third eye, and I created images, and I saw humans, and then I started seeing star people. I think that's the way I was able to see them. And I started to build this relationship with them.
Why is it that you call them star people? Because some people would say aliens, they'd say ETs. Whitley Strieber calls them the visitors. Other people call them the others.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you call them star people?
Well, I didn't really start doing that until I was about probably 19. Part of it was when I had experiences, some of the time I would be outside in my yard, in my garden, and at nighttime, I'd look up in the sky and I'd see the stars, and I would see lights start moving around up there. And I would typically wave and say hello. I'd be very friendly. And sometimes these lights would come down into my yard and land, and they were craft. You know, they were a saucer or a different shape. I've seen many different types of craft, different shapes and sizes. And so typically they seem to be coming from the stars. So I started calling them star people. And then another event happened that, because I did call them aliens for a little while when I was younger, but this one event happened where I was in a visitation experience and I was waking up from it. I was laying in my bed and the doorway to my bedroom was open. It had a full-length mirror on it. And I was looking in that direction of the doorway, and I saw a star person stick his head around the corner. And this was, you know, as I was waking up, and my husband was in the bed next to me, and I said, "Oh, look, it's an alien." And then the little guy sticking his head around the corner, he said, "I'm not an alien, I'm your brother." And it just kind of struck me, like, yeah, why am I calling him an alien? Because I do know these particular star people pretty well. In fact, I consider them family. And so I thought, well, I don't want to call them aliens. You know, I have to think of a different label for them. So kind of those two different things put together, I just started calling them star people for myself, just so I could have a label to talk about them.
This is one of the questions I was going to ask, was that, have your family seen these things happening? Is it just that one time your husband saw it, or was it other times?
My little sister has also had her own experiences, not to the extent that I have. She doesn't have really great conscious recall, but she's definitely seen them a number of times. And she's also experienced having an implant put in her arm around the same time when I did. We both had them in a similar location on our right arms, right near our elbows. So we did go through some of that together. And my family was very open-minded. And, you know, my parents definitely knew there was a spirit world, and they believed in ghosts and paranormal events. They weren't so much into aliens and star people. But yeah, my husband, John, he has seen star people also. And occasionally he will be in my visitations with me, where we are with the star people in this place I call the alternate reality, which I think could be the etheric plane. It's this other place I go, which is very real to me, where I am fully consciously aware and awake, and I'm living a real life experience. And sometimes John will be with me while we are practicing on the etheric plane. My star friends showed me how to use energy, like subtle energy, chi energy of the body, to create a ball of energy in my hand. And in the very beginning, in my early 20s, they taught me how to create a ball of light in my hand. And then from this foundation, I began to create things like apples and oranges or a flower. And it later developed into building larger objects. But the idea was that the etheric plane is the blueprint of the physical plane. And so creating something there, building something there, is an easier way, actually an easier way to build something physically, because it will manifest from the etheric plane onto the physical plane. So occasionally, my husband would be with me in those experiences, and we would be practicing building stuff on the etheric plane.
And the thing about some skeptics, you know, they may say you're claiming this stuff, and it's just anecdotal, or you could be making it up. But if you've got other people experiencing it as well, there's multiple witnesses, it's not like you're hallucinating, because you know, multiple people don't hallucinate exactly the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Well, we definitely, my husband John and I, we have definitely had a conscious recall waking up in the morning and talking about an experience that we had together. And, you know, the thing that we've really got to realize is that the physical plane is not separate from the spiritual plane. They are intricately woven together. For me, this has been a lifelong thing for me. So I've basically got one foot in the physical world and one foot in the spiritual world, and I can see both sides. And they blend together. They are not separate at all. My husband and I have had experiences where we'll be doing this out of body work, and then somehow our consciousness is moving back and forth from this etheric plane to the physical plane. And we would actually be practicing working on the etheric plane and come back to the physical plane and talk about it, and then go back to the etheric plane to work on it some more. So it isn't difficult once you are used to doing this type of thing and you practice it, that you can move your conscious awareness into different states, into different planes of existence. And no matter where you are, or if you are fully consciously aware, then that's where you are. And that's what body you're in, and that's real life to you. So, you know, it's definitely real for me. And when I share my stories with people, I'm sharing my spiritual path, and people have different paths. But really, millions and millions of people have experienced life with the star people and the psychic testing and all the different lessons and the training that we've been through.
And the star people, do they look like what people would call the greys, or do they look more human?
There's many different varieties, and the ones that I have worked the most closely with, they are a bit taller. I'd say they're probably around 6 foot tall for an average. They're thin. They've got white skin, a little off-white. Their heads are larger than a human's, but not terribly, and their eyes are a bit larger. Their eyes are blue or black, and mostly they don't have any hair, but sometimes they do have thin white hair or blonde hair. And if I have to put a label on them, I would call them Pleiadian. I don't really like to do that because I'm not sure. But I've also interacted with the grays, and there are different types of grays. Some of them are very friendly and helpful teachers, and some of them are not. Some of them are pretty malicious. I've worked with other beings that they are, I'd say, about 4.5 to 5 foot tall on average, and they have large heads. They have large black eyes, and the color of their skin is more of a yellowish, light brown, kind of a tan color. Worked with them a lot. And I've seen different multidimensional beings along the way. I've learned how to go out of body and travel, and I run into different beings along the way. You know, some of them I've only met once or twice, but most of my experiences were with who I would call the Pleiadians. And so, yeah, they've been my teachers my whole life.
And when you say Pleiadian, you feel that that's just a label that maybe you have put on them, or on other people that have encountered them, but they're not actually from that star system.
Yeah, what I know now is that they are multidimensional, and I'm not sure that they're physical beings, but they're definitely spiritual beings like we are spiritual eternal beings who are having a physical experience. And I know that they can manifest physically for a short time, but they really prefer to work in a different kind of space. So I don't know if they're really coming from a planet. I don't really know what the Pleiades are. Maybe those stars are portals. I know that they are celestial bodies and they are vibrating on different frequencies. And the star people are multidimensional beings who can blink in and out of this reality. And I kind of use the term Pleiadian kind of loosely because I'm unsure. I hate to, you know, give it a definite a definition. But I say that when I'm talking to people because people in general, this is how they label them and categorize them. You know, for me, it's like I know that we're spiritual beings, and that's the important part. We're all spiritual beings, and we're all connected. And whether, you know, they are physical or not, I can't say for sure.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do you still see humans in that space? Are they, you know, like dead people?
I don't typically do that thing at night anymore with my third eye. I do practice with my third eye at night. I don't typically see humans coming into my room. But of course, if I'm out of body and traveling around, I see humans all the time. And I went through a couple of different training periods with my star family. The first one happened in my early 20s, and I call it the Star People School. And there were other humans in the class with me. And we started out together as children. And through the years, we have been in a class together. And we've learned a lot together. And through the years, you know, some of the same humans are still in class with me. Well, we've pretty much graduated from our training now. But yes, I've definitely been connected to a lot of humans when I've been out of body and on the etheric plane. And we've worked together with the star people.
What do you say to people who say, you know, what you're saying is stuff is really out there? When I've heard different things from other people I've talked to who've had these encounters, and some of them sound similar, but there are people who say they've never been down this rabbit hole. They don't know about any of this stuff.
Well, that's okay. I mean, everybody's on their own path. Everybody's at their own level of learning, and this is my path. And in the beginning, when it started for me, I didn't really believe it either, you know, until it happened to me. So in the beginning, well, you know, throughout my childhood, I would see them. But during my teenage years, I kind of got distracted, and I really wasn't into that anymore. I was having fun in school with my friends, and I was in band and majorettes, and, you know, I was just living normal life as a teenager, pretty much. And then when I was about 19, I started having some pretty intense visitations. Probably once or twice a week, I would see the star people. And what they did was they would come into my bedroom at night, and while I was going to sleep, a couple of times I was awake though when this happened, and they told me that I couldn't really be with them, and we couldn't really visit with each other unless I was asleep. And so they would help me. They were literally trying to lower their vibrational frequency a little bit and to raise mine, so we could meet halfway and be on the same channel, so to speak. And what would happen is I would start to lose consciousness. My body would become almost paralyzed. It would get very tingly. And I could feel that my body, my muscles were getting very weak, and my body was going to sleep, but I was still aware. My consciousness was still awake. A couple times I did this with my eyes open, and they would be standing right next to my bed. And at that point, they would help me leave my body. They were pulling my conscious awareness right out of my body. And at that point, they would go with me. We'd float right through the wall. And that's, you know, totally makes sense to me now, because I used to think, well, if it's real, it has to be physical. But I don't think it was physical, you know, not completely the way that we think of it. I was leaving my body, and they were taking me through the wall onto their ship or wherever we were going. Sometimes we just go outside, or we'd be out in the woods, or sometimes they'd just stay in my house with me. But, you know, in the beginning, it was hard for me to understand what was happening and to make sense of it. And at the time, being 19 years old, I thought, you know, if it's not physical, it's not real. Like, what's happening? It has to be physical, but how am I floating through a wall? And one night, I actually set up a video camera down the hallway from my bedroom, and I recorded it all night long because I wanted to see what would happen, because I had a feeling they would show up that night, and they did. So what happened to me, my experience was, I was laying in bed and I heard the neighbor's dogs start barking, which woke me up. And I sat up in the bed and I looked down the hallway. I saw the camera at the end of the hallway. And a little star person ran up to the back of the camera and did something to it. And I thought, oh, it's just a star person, and I laid back down. So, and I don't remember the experience that I had that night with them. So in the morning, when I woke up, I was very excited to watch this videotape. Now, this was back in 1987 or 88. So it was a VHS cassette. And so I took it out of the camera and I put it in the VCR. And I sat there and watched the whole thing play through. And so this is what I saw on the tape. Towards morning, my neighbor's dog started barking outside. And pretty soon on the camera, you could hear a wet breathing noise right next to the camera. And then the camera goes to static for about 30 seconds. And then the camera comes back on. And the camera shows me laying in bed, just laying in bed. It does not show me sitting up. And possibly I sat up during the time when the camera went to all static, possibly. But other than that, the camera just showed me laying there and just normally rolling back and forth during the night like a person would. So it really gave me the impression that, okay, what's happening to me may not be physical at all. This is happening in some other state of consciousness. You know, I'm experiencing this. It's real to me because however it's happening, I'm awake and I'm aware when it's happening, and it seems so real. But at that point, you know, I was about 19 or 20, and I realized, well, this may not be physical, and that explains a lot to me, you know, how I can float through a wall or through a closed door or closed window, and so many other things that happen are explainable because they're not purely physical.
And do you feel that some of the encounters you have are physical and some of them are out of body, or they're all out of body?
Well, I think some of them are physical. I mean, I've had some things happen on the physical plane. I've definitely seen many UFOs physically in the sky. I recently, actually a few years ago, I was out on the beach here in Uruguay, and it was during, it was April here in Uruguay, which is starting to go into autumn. And my husband and I were out on the beach, and it's after tourist season was over, so we were really the only ones on the beach. And it was a nice day, and we noticed two people walking up the beach towards us. And didn't think too much of it until they got a bit closer. And there was just something a little odd about it. And when they got close enough, we could see that it appeared to be an older woman with a young man by her side. And this young man was holding a beach towel. He was walking right next to her. And they just walked right up to us, and they seemed friendly. And this lady, she had yellow eyes with black slits in her eyes. She looked rather reptilian, but the overpowering feeling was that she was definitely a powerful entity, someone who I would consider a magician or a sorceress, someone who had worked on their self to become a powerful being. And she walked up to me, and we met eyes, and we looked into each other's eyes, and you know, we greeted each other. She greeted me in Spanish, and we held hands and looked into each other's eyes, and we stood there and connected with each other. And she smiled, and her teeth were pretty green, pretty crazy looking. She really had fangs, which were green. She looked very reptilian, but she was not in a reptilian body. She was in a human body with the appearance of an older lady. She clearly was not. And the young fellow by her side almost seemed to be in a trance. And he was just standing by her side waiting for her to, you know, tell him what to do or anything that she needed. He was there for her. And it was a very bizarre kind of experience. And I don't think she was a human being. But we stood there and we held hands and looked into each other's eyes probably for about 5 minutes or so. And then we said goodbye and they walked away. So things like that happen. So I think I've definitely had physical experiences and spiritual experiences. But like I said, for me, they all kind of blend together. And I think it's something that we've still got to realize as humans, that we are spiritual beings. And this 3D experience in the hard, dense physical world is just a tiny bit of who we are. We are here temporarily, and then we're done with this part, and then we will continue. We never die. We will shift into our other bodies, you know, our astral or etheric forms, and we'll continue on. And we could live in different dimensions and in different worlds. It's really, the possibilities are endless, and I think we've just got to get past this idea that if it's not physical, you know, it's not real.
You've called the book The Shift. So what is that? What is The Shift?
The Shift is the awakening of humanity. It is a shift in conscious awareness where humans are moving up into higher vibrational frequencies of love and light, and they are starting to become aware of who they really are. They are becoming more conscious. The more conscious you become of who you are, then really the more power you have, the more control you have over your life, over the manifestation of your life. And I think this shift is a gradual process. I think it's already been happening for a while. I've definitely seen it happening in my life with everything in my life. And my experiences with the star people have progressed greatly over the years. I've become more and more aware of my true self. And as we do this, you know, as a group consciousness, as humanity awakens, we will know who we really are. We'll know who, where we came from and what our true purpose is and why we're here. It's like we have amnesia right now. So we're kind of walking around blindly trying to put all the puzzle pieces together. But this shift happens. It happens gradually. And I think at some point there is an event or something. Perhaps there is a open window, like an opportunity for people to do this, to wake up and become aware and take their power back. And I can see that happening. I can see it happening in the world. And we see a lot of chaos in the world right now. Things seem to be falling apart. And they are. That's the old world. That's the old false matrix system that we've been born into. We were born into, really, a lot of lies. We've been indoctrinated, mind controlled. We've been taught, you know, in a way that keeps us kind of dumbed down. I think we've been kept in a hypnotic spell, literally, by the entities who are in charge of this plane right now. I call them the controllers, and they are not human. And I think they are keeping humanity dumbed down for a long time now. So they can be in control of them. But when humanity realizes who they really are, well, they just won't be wasting their energy on the controller's dark agenda any longer. They just, you know, they won't have any time for that anymore. But when we remember who we really are, then our focus becomes ourself. It becomes manifesting beauty and living in love and light and harmony and making a brand new world for ourselves. So I think the old world we're moving out of, and we're creating a new reality. We're already beginning to do it. But I think that this shift will bring about greater and greater awareness and greater energies that will help us shift into higher awareness. So the shift is really the main reason that the star people have worked with me my entire life. As I was saying, I've been through a couple of training periods with them. So in my early 20s, there was a period of about 5 years when I saw the star people once or twice a week. So basically what they taught me was, first of all, they taught me to never be afraid. Because when you are afraid, you are out of control. You are not aware and you are not yourself and you cannot make good decisions. You really can't do anything but sit there and cry if you're so afraid you can't do anything. So they taught me to face my fear. They taught me about self-defense, psychic self-defense against whether it is any negative entity, a negative alien or human. Because around the same time, I was experiencing military abduction, and this involved humans. So I learned psychic self-defense against military-trained psychics. They taught me how to work on the etheric plane, to use subtle energy to manifest small objects. They called it energy manipulation. And like I said, I was creating apples and oranges and flowers in my hand. And then I would create a knife. If I was in the self-defense training, that's what I would do. And then the next important lesson was about what they called earth changes and the shift. And according to them, the earth would go through physical changes. But the most important part of this shift was the awakening of humanity. That was the main point. And they told me that we are in a spiritual battle. It's really good against evil. There are many factions involved, and it's been ongoing for a very long time. And my store friends were very sad about it, and they wanted things to get better. And that's part of why they were helping me and other humans to prepare for this shift. So at the end of that five-year period, I had gone through all this psychic testing with them. They put me and my human classmates through all different types of training. They would put us in labyrinths where we had to find our way out. They would give us different objects, and we'd have to use mental focus to figure out, well, what is this object and what do I do with it and how do I use it? And different tests like that. It was really about mental focus. So after this period of about 5 years, we actually graduated. We went to a graduation ceremony. This happened out of body. And after that, I did not see the star people for a couple of years. I mean, I did see them occasionally. They would stop by just to check on me and see how I was doing, see how I was progressing. And at the time, I really missed them. I didn't understand why they didn't come back. But later, I realized they were waiting for me to get to the next level myself. I had to do that part myself. And after a number of years, they came back and worked with me again. And I was very excited about it. And the second part of my training with the star people was a bit more intense. It built off of what I had already learned. But this was about now being on the etheric plane and building bigger objects and learning and actually going into like a world simulation, like creating a simulation of the world that would function properly where everyone could live in harmony. And so we were doing things like that. And the shift became of the utmost importance to be prepared for the shift. And this meant focusing on my inner self, focusing on developing my psychic abilities, focusing on raising my vibrational frequency, and to try to manifest my own reality. So they were showing me how to manifest reality. And at this point in my life, I can see that I am doing that. And the thing that kind of stops me and blocks me a little bit is my ego, I think, because it's hard to get your ego to actually believe that you can do this. But I can see it playing out in my life. And one way I see this is through synchronicities and things like one thought that will, if I start a thought process, if I have an intention, I can keep it going for 2 or 3 days. And I can see this flow. It's like we're in a river that is a flowing consciousness. And when we are connected to source or to God, that's perfect. We all want to be connected to source and to God. We want to be connected all the time. Then our lives would flow perfectly. But we skip in and out of this. But I can see where I'm definitely manifesting my life, and everything works out at exactly the right moment and impeccably. Everything works the way that it should. Not necessarily when I want it to, because I can be impatient, but exactly when it needs to happen. And so some of the little things that I've done to practice manifesting reality, I talk about this in the book a little bit. I'll do something simple. Like when I wake up in the morning, I'll say, well, today I want to see roses. I want to see a lot of roses everywhere I go today. So I'll set my intention on that. And then throughout the day, I'll purposely look for roses. And I do end up seeing them everywhere. And then for a couple of days, this plays out. It's like that flow of consciousness is continuing and flowing. So the shift is really about taking control of your life becoming consciously aware of who you are and remembering your true self, connecting with your highest self, and just really being who you're meant to be.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It sounds like a very subtle thing that would be a shift for the whole of mankind. Because there is a thought that if the star people are helping this happen, couldn't they just appear to everybody on the planet and start working with them? But it seems to be very, I don't know how to say it, they're not hidden or in the background, but very subtle and, quiet.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you're not going to see them unless you're open to seeing them. And unless you are close to a vibrational frequency that they are on. And I actually asked them this question. I asked them, why did you come to see me? You know, why did you even start working with me in the first place? And they said, because when I was little and they came to see me, I was awake. And I think it has something to do with my third eye being very active at that time. And I was able to see them when they showed up. I could see them and I could interact with them. And they started working with me and showing me how to raise my frequency so I could be on the same channel as them. And I do think that two people could be standing outside at night looking at the sky. And, you know, really, two people are seeing two different realities. One person could see a UFO fly by, and maybe the other person doesn't even see it. Maybe they see it as something different. Maybe they perceive it as something completely different, or they don't see it at all. And so I think that you've got to be in the right frequency for this to happen. And so the star people, they worked with me and they've worked with other people who are able to do this, who are able to connect with them. And for example, in the beginning, when we were children, we would be on the ship with the star people. And I've heard other contactees talk about this too. Lots of children would be on the ship with the star people, and they would do simple little psychic testing. And the children who didn't pass the test, well, they'd just bring them home because they weren't ready. And through all the years of my training with the star people, the psychic testing that they put us through, if we didn't pass the test, then we couldn't go up to the next level. We just weren't capable of doing it, and we'd have to work on it. You know, and they would let us keep trying, but it was up to us to do that. And so the reason why not everybody has a contact experience is because they're not open to it, or they've got some kind of blockage, or they're just not in the right frequency. And I think if you want to have a contact experience, you've got to fill your heart with love and light. You've got to focus on what is good in your life. You got to try to manifest good things and be a spiritual person and raise your vibrational frequency. And of course, not everybody's on the same path. People have spiritual paths that are completely different than this. But the shift of humanity is, it's not going to include everybody. There are probably the majority of people are not going to make it through the shift. They are not ready yet. They're not ready. I'm not sure if they will perhaps leave their physical bodies and go back home to the spirit realm, be reincarnated at some point. I'm not sure. But the people who are going to shift are those who are able to do it. And I really hope the best for humanity. I do my best to try to, you know, try to help people be uplifted and to realize that we are spiritual beings. We're here for a short time. This is temporary. We never die, and we will always continue on our spiritual path.
Well, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about. I heard there was something I heard about you had an experience where you were on a train going to a concert, and it seemed mm-hmm. like a fake scenario. What happened there?
Okay, that happened in my early 20s. It was during the night. I had gone to sleep as usual, and I woke up. I was on a train, and I seemed to be fully awake. To me, it seemed so real. I was on this train, and I think at first my husband was with me. This was my first husband. And we were on this train car together, and we were supposedly going to a concert. And that was exciting to me because I love music. And something just seemed so weird, so off. It didn't seem real. I mean, it did seem like physically real to me, but it didn't seem like it was real train. And the people on the train were almost like empty shells, like they were what I would call non-player characters, NPCs. They were just there to play a part. And my husband and I were separated, and I didn't like that. And I kept saying, something's not right. Something's not right. I was saying it out loud, and I wanted to stop the train. And so I found an emergency cord, like a cable that I pulled to stop the train. I don't know if that was there or if I created it, but I pulled it and the train stopped. And then these two beings came back. They were kind of upset, and they grabbed me by my arms, and they took me into a different train car up to the front. And they weren't very happy with me because I apparently had put a stop to whatever they were doing. And I think this was what you would call a fake scenario. So I did end up stopping the scene, and I woke up in my bed. But a fake scenario is something the star people do pretty often. They will put contactees and sometimes abductees into, it's like a holographic simulation or a movie set. And you've been put inside of it, and you have to play a part. And they will observe your reactions and your behaviors. And I don't know if maybe this is part of the testing, but they put me through fake scenarios for years and years and years. And I finally got to really see through that because everything was artificial. Like the sunshine they were trying to depict was not the real sun. I could tell the lighting was off. And so at one point I stopped putting up with their fake scenarios. And there's one in particular that happened when I was a little bit older. And it started off, I had gone to bed that night, and then I woke up. I was sitting in what looked like a library. I was sitting at a table with 10 other people, and we were in a very tall building. Because I could see out the windows, we look like we're in a skyscraper above a city. And all the other people were non-player characters. They were empty shells. And I thought, is this another fake scenario? And I wasn't quite sure. But then I became sure because the actions of the characters, one of them stood up, he had a gun, and they started fighting. And the one pointed a gun at me. And I said, oh, brother. I said, do not shoot me. I'm going to leave. If you don't put that gun down, I'm going to leave. and he didn't even respond to me. I was like, that's it. I'm leaving. So I got up and I went to the door. It was a double door. So I went out into this hallway, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this. I was here before. And they do that. If you don't do what they want you to, they'll keep putting you back in the fake scenario again to do it over and over again. So I went to my left because I remember last time I broke out of it, I went to the right. This time I went to the left. I went into another room, which was a well-lit, also had bookshelves in it, like a library. I went through that room and I started flying because I wanted to get out of there. Well, I was flying and I was bonking into the ceiling and I found an open window and I went through it. And I went through this window outside of the building and the outside world was dark and it was only halfway manifested. I could see buildings that were only halfway created. I could see through them. And I panicked a bit because I knew I was in a world that was not completely manifested. So I quickly focused on thinking happy thoughts. And I started creating a beautiful scene for myself. I started creating the rest of the buildings. I created a road. I created trees. I created an environment for myself, but I could tell I would not be able to keep up with it. And I tried to fly out of there, but I was hitting a ceiling. So even though I thought that I was outside, I was not. I was inside of a rectangular-shaped room that had purple nets all around it. When I looked off into the distance of the landscape, I could see these purple nets hanging from the ceiling of the sky all the way to the ground. And that was pretty freaky for me to see that, and I just wanted to get out of there. Started flying very fast, and I went through the top of this purple net that was hanging down a bit. I found a gap and I went through it. This brought me into another room, which was a smaller rectangular room that was well lit. It had two giant star people in it who were about 15 or 20 foot tall. And they were corralling a bunch of little beings. I don't know what those beings were because I could not tell what they were. They could have been human or just not sure. I flew through there and went through another purple net, and I came into what literally looked like a storage room with nets just hanging everywhere. And this deformed-looking star person looked very scary to me. He came swinging on a rope up to me, and I was still floating in the air, and he said, "Bonnie, I'm sorry, but you've gone too far again." And I was like, no, that's okay. I'll just go back where I came from, because I did not want him grabbing me. And so I flew back. And I flew back through the room with the giant star people, and they had put up a net near the ceiling. I flew above that net. They were protecting themselves and the other beings from me, because to the other beings that they were corralling around, I was an alien. And so I flew through there. I flew back through the unmanifested world. I ended up waking up. But I wasn't awake for long. I was laying in my bed and I thought, oh, good, I'm out of there. I fell back to sleep and I was back in the library again. They put me back where I started, back in the fake scenario. And I just wouldn't put up with it. I got up immediately and I left. And the familiar hallway was not there. It was now a room that had a bed in it. And there was a clear glass window. And I sat down in there, and what I remember is my husband coming to sit next to me, and we were looking at a little wooden tray that had some little artifacts and tools that the star people use, and I think it was just to keep me busy, to keep my mind occupied, because I was becoming a little bit too conscious for them, and I was breaking out of the testing grounds, and so they couldn't have that.
The book we've been talking about is called The Shift, A Lifetime of Contact Leading to Higher Consciousness, and people can get that on Amazon, can't they?
Yes, they can get the Amazon Kindle on Amazon, and I have the paperback on my website, Alien Abduction Help.
And can you tell us about your first book as well?
Yes, my first book is called Journey with the Star People, and that really... The two books are basically, they cover all of my experiences. It's my life journey, my spiritual journey. I've been recording my experiences for over 35 years. I have everything documented in chronological order. The second book is in chronological order and everything's dated. And the first book is about the early days, like my early 20s and all of that, the Star People School. And so the two books really go together. But you could definitely read The Shift on its own, and it would make sense on its own as well.
And what is it you do on the website? Is it Alien Abduction Help?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had Alien Abduction Help for quite a long time now. I have a forum where people come for help, mostly people who have weird experiences they can't explain, and they're scared, and you know, they might not even be sure if they're aliens or not, but they're having weird experiences, metaphysical, paranormal, and just they just need some help and advice. And they come to the forum and they talk about what's happening. And I give them the best advice that I can based on my own experiences. And it's kind of a little quiet forum because people are pretty scared. And some people are even scared to join. And they tell me that when they join. Sometimes they just want to be in contact with me and they want to talk to me, but they don't necessarily want to get their story out there. They're afraid of being ridiculed. And I mean, you know how it goes. I also have a blog where I make two videos each month. And I talk about my experiences and everything that's relevant to us now, everything that's happening in the world and the shift.
Great. Well, it's been great talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Simon. I've really enjoyed it. It's been great to meet you.
And that was an interview with Bonnie Jean Mitchell about her book, The Shift, A Lifetime of Contact Leading to Higher Consciousness. And if you want to hear the rest of this amazing interview, you'll need to sign up to Patreon for the extended episode. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. If you join the $4.50 a month tier, you get an extended episode every month. And if you join the $7.50 a month tier, you'll have access to an extended episode every week. And when you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And please check out my other podcast. It's called Past Lives Podcast. There are over 260 episodes. On the Past Lives Podcast, I look into evidence of an afterlife, such as near-death experiences, children with past life memories, mediumship, deathbed visions, and other phenomena. I also release an extra episode of the Past Lives podcast every Thursday that's called Paranormal Stories, and that always has UFO cases in it as well. My website is pastliveshypnosis.co.uk, and the link is in the show notes. My Instagram is a Past Lives podcast with an underscore between each word. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening. Gathering information on your emotional response, like they're trying to work out how humans feel in these places. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does make sense. I think that is part of it. And maybe certain types of star people do this. Yeah, it's a little confusing because my relationship.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.